Matthew's Gospel 28 and verse 18 to 20. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end. And we have examined this statement in the light of all the scripture, that when Jesus says, heaven and earth, he's not asking you to look up and look down. Heaven is a Bible idiom for God's space. Heaven is where is a God amongst men. The phrase that you use is God. Is heaven, pardon me. So heaven is God's space amongst men. Praise the Lord. Heaven is God's space amongst men. The earth refers to men. Heaven and earth, therefore, will be that union of God and man. That is, God and man is called heaven and earth. So when you read Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and it says, in the beginning God created the heaven and earth, I read it together with John's Gospel 1:1. That says, in the beginning was the Word, that's the Logos, and the Word was with God, and God was God. God was the Word, and the Word was God. That Logos is heaven and earth. That is God in man and man in God. That's heaven and earth. So when Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me, saying that that promise of heaven and earth is fulfilled in me. And if you've been studying with us, we looked at that as God's marriage. God's union is God's marriage. God's marriage with sinful man through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we said physical marriages, which is physical unions, are meant to reflect God's marriage. Look at Hebrews 13. So in that great commission comes the fulfillment of God's promise of heaven and earth, and heaven in the earth, and heaven and the earth in the heavens. And in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. Hebrews 13 and verse 4. The writer of Hebrews puts it like this. Marriage is honorable in all. The bed undefiled. For whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. I've explained to you that he's, even though physical marriages should reflect what he's saying here, but the intent of this text has nothing to do primarily with wedding ceremonies or marriages. It's referring to God's union with us. And it says that marriage is honorable and the conception is undefiled. It has no corruption. And so those who are whoremongers and adulterers are those who depart from God's union with humanity, and it says God will judge. That's why the next statement has nothing to do with physical marriages. Let your conversation, that your conduct, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. So what do you have? You have God in the marriage. Be content with such things as you have in this union. This union produces contentment. See, I'm content. There's this old song we used to sing. In your presence. You know that song? I am content. You know the song? In your presence, I am content. In your presence, there is life, expressions of your love. Come on now.
Presence I can
bring. How many people know the song? Where did you get born again? That was a magnetic song. In your presence I am content.
In your presence, I am content.
Sing it out, come on.
In your presence, there is life. Expressions of your love. Revelation of your power and might. In your presence, I can breathe. I'm in the presence of my King.
You know, when we say the presence of God now, we're referring to the resurrection of Jesus. The postpone of the new covenant is the fact that Jesus has appeared from the grave, from the incarnation to the resurrection, is that presence. So when we say in his presence, we're referring to that union we have with God. In that resurrection, we are content. So he says here that be content with such things that you have. That means if you are married to him, be content. For he has said, I will never leave you, because he's the husband man here. He's the husband, sorry, in this union. I will never leave you, nor forsake you. In Moses' law, Deuteronomy 24, is that, yeah? He says that a man can give a bill of divorcement. Matthew 19. They asked Jesus, Matthew 19, 2 and 3. Jesus said, well, in the beginning it was not so. For he created the male and female, the two come together and they become one flesh. And what's therefore whatsoever God has joined together, the word gameo, I believe, yeah, is that the word? Yeah, in the Greek, means a perfect synergy, a union, what God has put together, let no man put asunder. And that's not talking about, you'll find that in any text. This is actually God's marriage to us. And he says, I am saying, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. So that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Hallelujah. I will never leave you, nor forsake you. So in this union, God never leaves. One of the truths of salvation is the ever-abiding presence of God in this union. In some better, other translations, the word I will never is taken in the present continuous. It's never in the past. I will never, I'm repeating myself, I will never leave you nor abandon you. Hallelujah. So which means you can never be abandoned. I know that statement has no conditions. In Moses' law says, well, if a woman does so and so, the husband can issue a bill of divorcement. And God says, I will never leave you nor abandon you. Absolutely. Praise the Lord. Absolutely. Hallelujah. Absolutely. Hallelujah. When it comes to salvation and what God has done in Christ, the terms are absolute. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. Let me explain that. I won't leave you to go to work. I know your husband leaves you and goes to work. I won't leave you to watch Chelsea. Something like that. You know, your husband can leave you. Your friend can say, you know, I have to travel. You know, this opportunity came up in Tokyo and they're going to give me $50,000 per minute. You see, you say you are my friend. Huh? Pastor, you just told us friendship. We are saying the same thing. God says, I will never leave you and go to work. I'll never leave you and go and rest. I'll never leave you nor abandon you. So that you may boldly say, glory to God. In other words, there's a boldness that comes from this union. There's a boldness, a freedom of speech that comes from this union. And so in other words, you and I need to realize, and quickly so, that God is not against you. 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 God is with you. Look at Matthew 28 again. In verse 20, he says, lo! Hallelujah. And the word lo there means look at it. You know it's possible you don't look at it. Praise God. He says, lo, I'm with you. Lo, I'm with you always. Some of us rather look at the news or hear what someone says around you or hear someone's testimony. Someone sent me a mail 2 days back. He said, but so and so person said this. I said, if you're going to live your life on people's testimonies, you will never know the word of God. Because testimonies of people are going to differ. But the word of God will never change. Say, Lord, look at it closely. I'm with you always. Which means you can get to a point that's not what you are seeing. And if you look at the epistles, in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, Paul says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, a new creature, old things have passed away. Then he says, behold, all things have become new. I know places where they don't behold it at all. Hallelujah. As great changes I, know that song? Things I used to do, I do them no more. Things I used to do, Say keys. Sing, come on. Things I used to do. So what if you now do it? That means there was no change. No, it's not because of the things that you used to do. There's a change because you are born again. It's in itself the truth. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things that passed away, behold! Which means you have an instruction there. You have to look at it. All things are new. In 1 John, 1 Epistle of John chapter 3 verse 1. The writer of John, he says, behold, what manner of love. That means you have to look at it. The Father has bestowed. It's not enough to be in the service and sing the songs. And like, I'm the Father's house. It's something you're going to keep seeing. How often do you on your own talk about who you are in Christ? On your own. The first time I got a hold of this truth, I learned from Kenneth Hagin how he said that he read in him scriptures, he prayed the Pauline prayers overnight. So I decided to do the same thing. And I'll just take a stroll and confess who I am in Christ. Because at that time, I was battling a whole lot of things. I had some things that were said to me that made me look inferior initially. I had some things from the doctrine I was listening to that made me feel like I was going to pay back to God. And sometimes God can get angry. God can be annoyed. And all of that. And say, you know, brethren, at this point, don't let God turn his face away from you. So everybody's struggling, Lord. Don't turn your face. Then after finishing the prayer, you see Philly has turned his face either way. And so, I'm battling that. So by the time I got a hold of the truth, I began to speak them. One day, right about afternoon, I raised my hand and said, I'm fearless. Hallelujah. I'd never said that before. I'm fearless. Glory to God. I got no fears. I said that boldly. I'd never said it before. I said, I don't see a fear in my future. So, from that day, when anybody preaches about backsliding, I laugh at them. They're not talking to me. They're not. I just laugh at you. Say, there's this, men of God should be careful. Men of God, this one. I said, no, that's not me. For he has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So I'm bold about it. So you put the word of God on your lips. On your own. This is not singing in service. I'm saying on your own. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm with you. So some songs don't come out of your mouth again. As I come into your presence. Where did you go? Where did you go before? In fact, I started at some point, I have to be careful, I started disliking any songs that has presence of God. I won't sing it with you. I said, but that song was in your presence, you're keep quiet. Within. Because I had to be strong about it. Imagine you had sought for something in fasting and prayer. They say, what are you looking for? You say, I'm looking for so and so. They say, come close. They now put their hands in your pocket. This is it. You say, is it magic? No. You say, it's your knowledge that is magic. Your own knowledge is magical. Because he said, I will never. So I began to be almost, should I say, paranoid. When I hear Holy Spirit, I say, yes, what about Holy Spirit? If I hear, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, in. Because I had to battle that knowledge. If you have ever spent 40 days fasting and praying, wanting to hear the voice of God, you know what I'm saying. Because somebody said, you know, after 40 days, the Lord spoke. Said, ah, almost see depth. You go on 40 days. But the word of God is very clear. He says, look at it. I am with you always. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. In John's Gospel 14, in verse 20, he said, in that day, hallelujah, and today is the day. I said, today is the day. In that day, you will know that I'm in my Father. That's what he said. In that day, you know I'm in my Father. And I'm in you and you are in me. Praise God. What does that mean? If somebody is always in you and always with you, that means he is not against you. He's not against you. Hallelujah. So God is for me. And God is in me. And God is with me. And he's not against me. In Romans 8:31, Paul, writing, said, if God be for us, where did he get to that point? In verse 28, he said, all things work together for good to them who are loved, who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And I said, those that he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. He said, those that he predestined, them he called. Those that he called, he said he justified. Those that he justified, he glorified. He expects you to see all that. He said, what shall we say then to these things? That means there is a level of knowledge you have that some doubt will not come to your mind again. What shall we say then to these things? Because some things are just not possible. If God be for us. Many people quote 31, but they don't know why he said it. If he foreknew you, and then he predestined you, then he justified you and glorified you in his son, then how can you say he's against you? Who can be against us? He who spared not his own son, verse 32. And delivered him up for us. Shall he not with him? Glory to God. What kind of interpretation is that? That's the Kwa Vahoma, right? Come on. That is, if he can do this, then much more he will do this. If he can give Jesus to die for you, in Romans 5 and 8, while we were yet sinners, and he says, shall he not with him freely, hallelujah. Some of you like, God, freely give us of all things. Glory to God. Those are the first words I came to understand. Freely. Freely. Because when I understood grace, I thought grace was the result of something you do. And one of the songs we sing is, give me grace to follow. Heard it before? Abundant grace to follow. Give me grace to follow. Your grace is enough for me. You sang that one on Monday. Let's assume he gave you. Then on Tuesday again, give me grace to follow. Abundant grace to follow. Give me grace to follow. Your grace is enough for me. I thought you said that yesterday. But those kind of religious thinking doesn't allow us to assert the word of God without doubt. I've got the grace of God. Hallelujah. The grace of God is not the result of prayer. It is why you pray. It's what makes you pray. The grace of God is not a result of good works. Rather, it is why you do good works. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. By grace are you saved through faith, the gift of God, not of yourself, not the work like any man boasts. Then it says in verse 10, you are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Hallelujah. So good works are birthed by faith, by grace. Good works don't come because of grace. I mean, grace doesn't come because of good works. Good works are a result of the grace of God. If you pray for it, to get it, then it's not the grace of God. The grace of God is what God gives to us. It's benevolence. Many times we didn't even know we had it. You are now told. You are told that you had it. Remember someone like that? After hearing me teach 2006, she said, sir, I know I've been a pastor, but can you lead me to Christ? I said, why? She said, I'm not sure I'm born again. I said, why did you say that? She said, because everything you've said are things we were desiring. I never knew I had them. I said, but you already said. She said, no, let me say it again. Hallelujah. So I said, okay, no problem. It's not bad to say it again. Romans 10 and 8, we said it together. Because you didn't know you even had it. That's the grace of God. You didn't even know you had it. You were told. You had climbed seven steps. Seven steps to seek the face of God. Number one, seek it. Number two, find it. Number three, discover it. There's a difference between discovering and seeking. Four differences between discovering and seeking. Number one, when you seek, you only go. When you discover, you come. And say, that man is deep. He's very deeper than the Bible. Seek the face of God after you go to the seventh step. Then I say, eight ways to keep the face of God. You have seen it, it's time to keep it. Then by the time you got to number eight, you are still trying. He said, how to get the wholeness of God. Brethren, some of us, all we have is his faith. I've preached that one before. I just concluded one scripture like that. That where it says that for my hand is not shortened to save. Now my hair heavy. So I said, do you know that he's the one talking to them? They can hear him, but they cannot see his hand. Brethren, may you not just have his lips. I don't know. You know you need his hand in life. You know, sometimes I see people sharing it today. And they say, that guy is deep. Deep as bowl. A friend of mine said, Pastor Chris, how do you get to know all these things? I said, I started them before you. I know how to go about those things. But the word of God is sure. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8 again. He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Shall he not with him freely give us of all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God? Who makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of God, of love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distresses, persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword? Look at verse 36. For I am persuaded. 37. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors to him that hath loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities. No, this, you know, these are verses they call the shouting verses. You don't say neither death nor life. So, I am persuaded. Hallelujah. Neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities. No powers, no things present, no things to come, no height, no depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can you say amen?
Amen.
These are shouting verses. When you read Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ. Hallelujah. You say, there's therefore now. Even you are condemned the way you are saying it. Hallelujah. You raise your voice. Praise God. I told you, learn to raise your voice. Let even louder than the doubt that comes to your mind. Raise your voice. Glory to God. It's therefore now, Paul says, no condemnation to them who are in Christ. So the indwelling of the Spirit shows you that God can never be against you. Hallelujah. Many of us think that God is like a man that gets surprised. And say, I never knew. If they told me you would do this to me, I'll have doubted it. That's God speaking. If they told me that this is the kind of person you are going to do, become, I would not have given you my spirit. What can I do? I've given you already. Before you say I'm not fixed. No. Glory to God. There's nothing that caught him or catches him by surprise. So he gave you his word ahead of time. Hallelujah. He gave you his word ahead of time. In other words, he gave you his word for all seasons. For all seasons. When you're doing fine, when you're not doing fine. When you're spiritually active and when you're not. He gave you his word. Realize that. Many of us think that God is faithful when we are faithful. No. God is faithful at all times. God does not reward our faithfulness with his faithfulness. That's a very wrong thinking. God expects our faithfulness because he is faithful. Doesn't reward you with it. God doesn't reward you with healing because you've done well. No, he doesn't. Salvation came because he saved you. And so have that in the back of your mind. God gave you his word ahead of time. So nothing should cross your mind that he is against you. He gave you his word ahead of time. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. He gave you his word. Way ahead of time. Even before you were born. I'm born again. That when you are born again, you know, this is my word. And that's why Paul didn't write these things. And then he said, you know what? What I'm saying belongs to, please, don't share this generally. That verse 31 is for Brother John there. That verse 32, it depends on the department you are in church. It talks to all believers. Hallelujah. That means that is God's absolute word for all seasons, for every nation, for every time. Time now, yesterday, today, and forever. He gives his word absolutely. Glory to God. Absolutely. It's not for anybody. It's for all who have believed. So if he gave his word, anything contrary to that is wrong thinking. Wrong thinking is if you have a wrong impression about God. And sometimes when people come around and they want us to pray over anything, I learn to listen to them. If you're a pastor, do that. If you're discipling people, or if people say you pray for them, learn to listen to them. Jesus listened to people. Listen to them. Sometimes you may have to correct their thinking. 1994, I was praying for the sick. At one of these healing meetings we organized. And a woman was right in front. Right on her face, you will see that she wanted healing. I mean, it was like, you know, she was saying Yoruba, she was saying that. So, but usually I'll get to the people on the line and ask them questions. Then I'll pray with them. So I got to her and I says, madam, what's the problem? I said in Yoruba. She responded. You know, like I said, I have this pain and that's all. She said, I've been having this thing for the past 8 years or so, and I know that it is God that put it on my body because he wants to make me humble. You know the family I came from, we are very proud. And God wants to give me this thing to be humble. So I looked at her and I said, all right. Close your eyes, raise your hands. Raise your hands. Say what I mean, say, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father. I thank you for this cancer on my body, for this cancer on my body. I said, give me more cancer. Raise your hand. So I can be more humble. I said, ah, you don't want to be humble? Yeah, because people actually have wrong thinking. Just like Job. Job said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh, and even added, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's very, very, very pious. Like when you say something, you say nonsense and you put, thank you, Lord. After saying nonsense, the Lord did it. Blessed be his holy name. He said that. Yet, he was speaking out of fear. Many of us thank God out of fear because we think he may do worse. Lord, oh, I'm grateful. I'm grateful. You say, I'm grateful. You say, what happened? That's not what we wanted, though, but has happened. What can we do with God? Is that a fear? That if you don't thank him now, somebody we have been thanking that did that. If you now don't thank him, you know. I say, what can we do? No. Don't praise him out of fear that he will hurt you if you don't. That's what Job was doing. And the Lord said he darkened counsel. He and his friends. That they were darkening counsel. That what they were doing was speaking out of ignorance. And Job now admitted in Job 42 verse 5. He said, I only spoke from rumors. I spoke from rumors. Things you've heard. Many of you discover that you say things out of things you watch on movies. Spoke from rumors. Somebody came to me, was it 3 weeks back, and said, Pastor, I had this dream. And the way she started talking, I started laughing. Person's about to listen to me right now. I won't look at your website. How did you dream? I said, Pastor, why are you laughing? I said, no, it's the way you said it. I had this dream. You know, your concentration about that dream was better than the one in church when you're hearing God's word. I had this dream. You know, the way you exhort dreams a lot. Praise God. There was one day like that I had a dream. I don't take my dreams seriously because I've seen all sorts. I've seen all sorts. All sorts. I mean, let me give you examples. So you say, eh? How can a man of God have such kind of dreams? Just, yeah. So interestingly, during the day, I now saw exactly what I saw in the dream and I started laughing. I said, dream, you are mad. You are very, very mad. See, Shandababa. Shandababa. Oh, Baba. You allow fear come to your heart. Praise God. Fear come to your heart. So when she started telling the thing, you know, it was like I was going to a place and then it was like, except for you to be saying it like this, it cannot be God. See how you are looking like an unbeliever. Praise the Lord. Wrong thinking. Wrong thinking will now produce a wrong believing. And wrong believing will produce wrong speaking. And wrong speaking will bring in the wrong kind of actions. When you believe wrongly, you are going to act wrongly. I was talking to a Christian last night and I said, she had a friend. She mentioned the church of the friend and I said, you know something? She was trying to give an excuse about the friend. I said, I naturally won't talk about the church of your friend. But that church, they do not teach loving others or walking in love. I said, it shapes the way they see people. You cannot take away what they believe from how they act. You have to get my point. So when people think in a way about God, it reflects in what they do. Anyone that sees a vengeful God will be vengeful in his personality. Anybody who thinks he can hire God like an hired killer. And say, Jehovah, are you ready? Jehovah, are you ready? Yeah, I did for you. Maybe one guy waiting down that road. No kill him. Just brush him. And glorify your name through me in his presence. So God the hired killer. You know, that's what people like that will have done if not for getting born again. That means as a profession. So we need to realize certain things and know that some of the attitudes we have are informed by our wrong perception. For example, if you believe that God visits you, God came to you, or God visits you, or God can leave you, or God, you know, those kind of funny impressions. You shouldn't think like that. He said, I will never leave you. And he says, in that day you will know I am in you. So knowing that already, sort it on your heart that God is for you. How many of you have friends that you know they are never against you? Very few. Some of you are looking around your friends and say, you raise your hand. With everything I've been doing for you, raise your hand, come on. How many of you have people you know? No. Anywhere, they are for me. You have people like that. And you are so confident. Why can't you be more confident like that, or more than that, about God? He's more reliable. God does not give excuses. You know what happened now? Your friends can give you excuses and you can understand it. You know what happened now? That day, the way it was, I mean, it rained, I couldn't come. Your friend can say, I got into traffic. In fact, I got down, and you know this, Okada time, I had to walk, and all of that. And he says, I understand. But imagine God saying, you know, I wanted to come, but I didn't get Uber. You know, you can't say that. So he is reliable. And he's not against you. Hallelujah. He has no excuses. He's going to prepare to tell you. And he has no excuse good enough. He's for you. Hallelujah. What about that? He's for you. You know, what has God getting a hold of the word? I just wake up at night. I think I've stopped it recently. I'll start doing it again. Now, I did it for many years. I'll just wake up at night and I'll say, ha ha! God loves me. I mean, some people think you're crazy. If I'm taking a stroll and I'm talking, sometimes I talk loud. I'm going, people know, people say, hello. So I'll now greet them back and I wonder, was he not talking to me before? Who was talking to you? Because I raised my voice. Praise God. Glory to God. One day I got up in the night, I said, I have an indomitable spirit. I can't give up. You know, I said that. I have an indomitable spirit. I found it in Christ Jesus, so I don't give up. I stay there till I win. I stay there till I win. So it's not over till it's over. I said, nope, it's not over till I win. Praise God. You need to build your confidence in God's word. Thank God for people. Thank God for friends. Thank God for church. But you know what? Build your confidence in God's word. He said, lo, I'm with you always. Build your confidence in God's word. Build your confidence in God's word. Hallelujah. Build your confidence in God's word. Build your confidence in God's word. Don't talk loosely. Don't talk carelessly. For he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, so that you may boldly say. So God already has given you your vocabulary. And do not be ashamed to be unique. Hallelujah. He gave it to you. Glory to God. Don't be ashamed to say what he has said. And so, We must never allow fear in our hearts. Fear is when you expect something negative. You expect something to go wrong. Why do you expect it to go wrong? Maybe God didn't want me to do it. Maybe God, and then doubt starts creeping into your heart. Fear is when you expect things to go wrong. And Jesus consistently, look at the book of Matthew, Matthew 14. He consistently spoke against it. Remember? When he was on water, and he asked Peter to come. He said, Lord, if it's you, Matthew 14 and verse 26, if it is you, verse 27, bid me to come. He had told them in 27, it is I, be of good cheer, don't be afraid. And the word he uses, it is I, in verse 27, is the same Greek word he used in 28, verse 20. I am with you. It's the same word. Exodus 3:14. I am that I am. It is I, don't be afraid. So fear is a lack of confidence in God's presence. Fear is lack of confidence in God's presence. Say, I refuse to be afraid. I didn't hear you. I refuse to be afraid. It's lack of confidence in God's word. You can preach the word and not have confidence in it. You can quote it. See, you can be, it's like someone who serves food. People can eat the food and you are hungry. People can get blessed in your sermon and you are not living in it. Have confidence in God's word. There's a way you should talk. You may look arrogant, but it's not arrogant. You are bragging on God. You are bragging on God. You are bragging on the indwelling presence of God. And say, God is not against me. I've stood before prophecies given by respected men, and I laughed. A guy told me, what are you going to do about it? I said, about what? Nothing. He said, pray. I said, no. He said, why? I said, it's nonsense. This was 22 years ago, 23 years ago. I said, it's rubbish. Do you know how many hours I spent speaking God's word? Do you know how many hours I spent listening to it? So when I hear something contrary, I just laugh. Yes. Because you do not build strength for war during war. You do it before it. Build the word into your system. Talk boldly. I've told you, you must be positive. God's word is what? Positive. The word is negative. But God's word is positive. Glory to God. Build confidence in God's word. So say, it is I am the one. Be not afraid. He said, come. What happened? Peter began to come. He began to walk in the supernatural. He began to walk on the water. Like many of us too. You say, well, I'm thankful. I'm grateful. And suddenly, his eyes went to the winds. The winds were there before. But somehow, his focus changed to the wind. Then began to think, it's increasing. What I'm seeing here is 60 kilometers per minute. He's now calculating. He's now saying, go on Google. Wind, boisterous wind. How many searches? Boisterous wind. He killed 46,000 in Europe. In 16,000 in Nigeria, I say, see, you have been walking on water already. What happened? You gave heed to your senses. You had seen miracles before. You had seen the power of God working before. You had seen the glory of God before. And you are seeing it now, yet still. Nothing should shift your focus. And what did Jesus say? He says, oh, of little faith, why did you doubt? Look at that. He said, don't be afraid. Why did you doubt? So fear is a product of doubt. And fear will produce the results that you expect. It's a product of doubt. Doubt is the Greek word that has to do with having two opinions. Two opinions. Some of you say, no, I'm just being smart. It's plan B. It's not plan B, oh. You are just doubting. when you are in faith, you burn the bridges of another option. I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. So don't entertain fear. What is fear? An expectation that something will go wrong. So the moment you see the signs of it, you start to shake. But what did Jesus say? It is I. I told you earlier, he gave you his word ahead of time. God's word and God's presence does not immune you from life's troubles. But you know what? You are going to come out victorious. So when you see it, you say, this is going to be a proof that the word of God is working. I told the pastor one time, I said, do you know what? He said, hey, my members are doing this. People, I said, what are you learning walking in love for? It's not just to sing, walking in power. No. It's not to walk in it now. You learned walking in love. You said, love is my nature. Love is my nature. I forgive easily. I forgive easily. They are complaining. Why did this person do this? Why did you confess it? Love is your nature because people are going to offend you. So you don't say, but I prayed now, but I thank God, but God led me. Why is this happening? That question came out of doubt. Fear comes out of doubt. There was a wind. And you know the interesting thing? When the wind was blowing, was Jesus there? He was there. He was there. He was right there. Glory to God. Right there in the midst of the storm. He was there. Hallelujah. So the presence of God is not the absence of negative things and storms, but it is victory over them. Hallelujah. That's why you must build your confidence in God's word. And fear comes out of condemnation. You feel you have done, something must have gone wrong. Something, maybe you didn't pray well. Maybe your thoughts caught up with you. Maybe something you said somewhere. Maybe, no. Take away condemnation from your mind. God is not against you. God is not against you. Hallelujah. God is not against you. Praise the Lord. God is not against you. Thanks be unto God. Mark 4. So fear is a function of doubt. Doubt. Mark chapter 4. They were together again in the sheep. And our Lord Jesus Christ, he was sleeping. Because when he was praying, they were sleeping. So when he started sleeping, they started praying. Hallelujah. He was sleeping. How many of you have seen winds before? You've seen serious winds, maybe rains. And it takes a lot to sleep. He slept off. Do you know that he didn't wake up? He didn't wake up. They had to wake him up. They went there and they woke him up. For them to wake him up, that's sound sleep. You know, when you are not sitting, somebody opens the door and says, who is that? Who is pursuing you? Who is that? I thought I heard somebody. There's nobody sleep. Hallelujah. Why are you saying, who is that? You have watched movie. Somebody came behind and brought gun. You say, who is that? Who is that? I said, I heard something. Our Lord slept off. Like, I think it's not. He said, this man not anointed. But there he was. And the Father was there. And the winds were there. And the rains were there. And the ship appeared that was going to sink. And all the guys said, carest not that we perish. He screamed. Then he said, he got up. And then he said, peace be still. The wind ceased and there was a great calm. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fearlessness is a function of confidence in God's abiding presence. Knowing He's not against you. If He's not against you, it means He's for you. If He's not against you, it means He's for you. So, He tells us in Matthew 10, when people persecute you in the gospel, and they say things about you and your ministry, Matthew's gospel chapter 10. He says in verse 28, fear them not which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Matthew 10, 28. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both the body and soul in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? Those are the commonest, cheapest things in the market. And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Can we take verse 31 again together? Fear ye not. You are of more value. Say, I'm of more value. Fear not. He says, fear not. People look against you in the ministry. People speak against your ministry. They even come and attack you. He says, fear not. Because you're of value. Say, I'm of value. Because we are not worthy. We are not worthy. We are like this. We are nothing. If you are nothing, get out. I'm of value to God. Say, I'm of value to God. He says, fear not. In Acts 27, Paul, again, with the crew, a lot of people in the whole ship, Acts 27. And then there was storm. The ship eventually went aground. But look at verse 22. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of sheep. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Let's take 24 together. Fear not. Hallelujah. Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given all these men that sit with you. Wherefore, says, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Hallelujah. That it shall be even as it was told me. He said, look at what he says. He says, the angel of God, of whose I am, and who myself. I know who I am. I know who I am. Of who I am. You have to identify yourself. If everybody is in your office and they are talking, don't think because you are all Nigerians you are the same. No, I'm born of God. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I know who I am. And I know who I serve. Three things in there. He knew who he was. He knew who he served. Then he said, I believe God. Hallelujah. See, I believe God. Do you believe God? You know, when he said that, the storms didn't cease. But he said, I believe God. If the storm stopped, then there's nothing you are believing. Even an atheist will believe that. But I believe God. See, I believe God. No matter what journey you embarked upon, Don't bow to pressure. Don't bow to storms. Don't do it. God is not against you. God is for you. And His Spirit lives in you and abides forever. And He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Glory to God. In Luke 1, when the angel came to Mary, so, pay attention in the work of ministry. When I'm being moved against, I fear not. I fear not. If things happen contrary to what I wanted in the work of the ministry, I fear not. I fear not. I'm not afraid. In Luke chapter 1, again, Luke's gospel, 1:30. When the angel appeared to Mary, he said, fear not, for thou hast found favor with God. Hallelujah. See, I'm able to carry out God's will. I'm not afraid to do the will of God. See, I'm not afraid to do the will of God. You know, you see yourself serve God, carry out his will. God is about to ask Mary to do something nobody had done before. But the angel said, don't be afraid. God has called you to do. Called you to do this and do that. It appears that it looks impossible. He says, don't be afraid. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid. Don't give in to fear. Don't expect something to go wrong. Hallelujah. I expect nothing to go wrong. Hallelujah. So when I see things going wrong, I still expect nothing to go wrong. Hallelujah. Build your confidence in God's word. I told you earlier, he had given you his word ahead. So the word of God is not reacting. The word of God is a down payment. The word of God is a foreknowledge. The word of God is something he said ahead of time. Fear not. Where does fear come from? Fear doesn't come from God. Fear does not come from God. 2 Timothy chapter 1, 7, Paul says that God has not given you the spirit of fear. Fear doesn't come from God. To expect evil to happen, to expect things to go wrong, go bad, doesn't come from God. Hallelujah. 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 Are you here? There's a difference between you want to serve God and glorify his name, and therefore you are not living in sin, than being afraid of sin. There are two different things. The fear of sin is a sin. Because Jesus put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Hebrews 9, 28. 26 to 28. He made him sin for us who knew no sin. That you are made the righteousness of God in him. So the fear of sin itself is a sin. I live right to glorify God. I am not afraid of sin. I don't think I heard you. I don't think I heard you. The fear of sin itself is a sin. The fear of anything at all is a sin. You are going to live right and please God and glorify his name. You know why you live right? Because you are made right. Hallelujah. You are made right by God. Hallelujah. You are the light of this world. Glory to God. That's why you shine. You're not afraid. Not out of fear. Praise God. I got no fear at all. Got no fear at all. Glory to God. So sometimes you have to ask yourself, where did this fear come from? You watch something, you heard something. There are people to block off. There was a guy who was posting something 2 days ago. And I went inbox and said, I respect you a lot. I'm aware of the news going around Nigeria about something and something. I said, you know what? I don't give in to such things. I'd rather you post positive things. He said, but I've not seen you post scripture. I don't have to post scripture, but I post positive things. You can't stay around me and negative. Why are you this negative? Some guys are just like that. They are born in fear. This thing in my hand. I'm wondering whether it's not what. Are you a doctor? Hallelujah. Say, I'm fearless. Glory to God. Where did it come from? You have to know where it came from. Sometimes our fear comes from our own experiences. What we hear and what we see. Hallelujah. The presence of God does not mean there will be contrary circumstances around you. In Mark 5, remember, Jesus is going to the house of Jairus to heal his daughter. As he's on his way, they approach Jesus, the story of the woman with the issue of blood who got healed. And in verse 35, they said, don't bother the master, your daughter is dead. And Jesus heard what was spoken and turned to Jairus. What did he say to Jairus in verse 36? Don't be afraid. Only believe. Don't be afraid. Only believe. In Mark 4, that means Jesus was right there when the negative report came. In Mark 4, it was right there in the ship when the negative report came. In Matthew 14, it was right there on the waters when the negative report came to Peter. In Matthew 20 and Acts 27, he was right there. Today he's right inside me. So as I walk through the waters, I know he's there. If he's there, how come the winds are this way? He's still there. So I look inside. Hallelujah. Peter was supposed to look at him like this. Now he's with us. So I look inside. I may feel afraid. I may feel like, oh, my ears may be hearing something very wrong and different. But I look inside. For he has said, hallelujah, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And when he said that, it's not that he's hanging around me and holding me and hugging me. No, he's within us right now. Hallelujah. I build confidence in the word. I am God inside minded. 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 I'm God inside minded. I'm God inside minded. God is for me. God is not against me. How many times do you say that in a day? These people are speaking against you. I said, but God is for me. Hallelujah. And that's enough for me. Glory to God. You know something about people and human beings? I found this out. God knows how to handle men. Sometimes you leave them to him. Hallelujah. Just rest on the fact that God is with you. And he's not against you. I told you earlier, he gave you his word. Before your mistakes, before any step that you took or that you will ever take. God is for you. So Jesus heard those guys and he turned to Jairus. Don't be afraid. And I'm turning to you, brothers and sisters, don't be afraid. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid. You're embarked on a journey, you're embarked on a project, you're embarked on anything. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. What is going wrong, it will go right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't be afraid. God is not against you. 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 How would you sit all night thinking, hey, what did I do wrong? What do you have to do wrong? What did the disciples do wrong in the boats? Nothing. It just happens. But you know, there's something greater that happens. I overcome it. I overcome it. Hallelujah. 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 So you're asking the wrong questions. If you are trying to study a problem, you won't get the solution. Stay with the solution. Greater is he that is in you. Hallelujah. Stay there. Stay there. At no point should you give your heart to fear. Don't expect things to go wrong. Amen. Hallelujah. People talk about marriages are breaking down. In fact, somebody last week went to go and doctor one report. Say 4,000 divorces in Abuja court. Ever since they started that court, they've not had 4,000 cases. People are just used to painting fear. Some guys' experience now form a blog. So, I'll be sharing the experiences. Don't be afraid. Hallelujah. Don't get into relationship out of fear. Hey, if I don't do it now, something will happen. Hey, if I do it now, this guy, something will happen. What's your problem? Hallelujah. I'm built on the word. I expect good things. What about you? I expect things to go well. Amen. My banker told me, he said, you are an incurable optimist. I'm like that. I'm not negative at all. I'm not. I'm an incurable. When people say, this thing has not worked, I said, let's do it. It will work. It will work. I'm very optimistic about life. How would I not be? What I read the most in my life is my Bible. How will you read the Bible and be negative? You can't be. You can't be. And you see how God walked his way through human frailty, through death, through sin, through unbelief, doubt and fear, and he came out tops. Hallelujah. From Genesis through to Matthew. You saw how God went through it. All our frailties. Things went dark and gloomy. Then he came out and he said, all hail. I can't read that and feel defeated. And I know that same being is within me now. Hallelujah. He walked through sin. He walked through death. He walked through doubt and unbelief. And he came out victorious. So I'm very optimistic. Hallelujah. It may take time, but I win. It may take a bit more time than I wanted, but I win. It may be a delay of 2, 3, 4 years. Doesn't matter. It gets sweeter in victory. Hallelujah. Because I am not afraid at all. Hallelujah. I'm not afraid at all. Hallelujah. You got married and things are going somewhere. Well, let your expectations remain the same. Things will go well. Hallelujah. Things will go well. But this is not what I thought. That prophecy they gave me is different from me. No worry, give another prophecy. Amen. You know, if they prophesy that, and it's all light, and it's all light, they start seeing darkness. Prophesy another one that, in the midst of this darkness, light will shine. Hallelujah. Do you get the point? You can't, you know, I told somebody one day, I said, look, the things I've seen demands I have to be optimistic. If I am pessimistic at all, I'm finished. I'm finished. So I have no choice. I just have to believe God. Hallelujah. I have no choice. Glory to God. Because I grew up making mouth. God is this, God is that, God is this, God is that. I have to keep doing that though. Hallelujah. I got no choice. But you know, I have a big mouth and a big God to back it up. Hallelujah. I brag on God. I brag on God. I brag on God. Some people brag on fear. They brag on failure. I brag on God. I said, I brag on God. Hallelujah. I expect things to go right. I see the end. It's fine. Hallelujah. I see the end. It's fine. It's fine. For the, you know, to do business in Nigeria, what are you listening to? You are listening to the wrong things. A friend of mine sent me something, my classmate, he's a pastor in Lagos. He said, do you know the thing? He said, he works with Europeans and Americans. He said, we are complaining the more. In his office, he does, he's like their officer for their European partners. He said, every day, I write letters for Americans, Europeans, Asians to come to Nigeria and do business. And when I go on Facebook, I read something else. I say, what are we seeing that they are not seeing? Some of us are just used to negative things. Negative things. If you do this one, this will happen. This will do this one, that will happen. Why not say if I do it, good things will happen? It won't cost you anything. I expect good things. I'm not afraid to succeed. You do hear that? I'm not afraid to succeed. Not at all. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take decisions. I'll take it anyway. In the presence of fear, I'll take my decision anyway. No fear will stop my decisions. Hallelujah. I'll take it anyway. I'll do it anyway. Because I brag on God. I brag on God. I brag on God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The one I like best is people to doubt me. I like it. I like when people doubt me. And they say, what you're about to do? I say it again. Let me hear it. Very good. Let's see. I like that. I like challenges. What about you? I like challenges. Because it makes it sweet. The victory now has a story. Hallelujah. The victory has a story. If it's sickness, just a challenge. There's something called healing. Healing takes care of sickness. Sickness can never be an end. If there's healing, that means sickness is not meant to be an end. Hallelujah. So bring it on. Hallelujah. Bring it on. Sometimes you say, tell the devil, is that your last shot? Try one more. Bring another one. Hallelujah. Bring another one. I brag on God. I believe God. Hallelujah. Make sure you say this tomorrow. And on Tuesday. And on Wednesday. I believe God. Glory to God. No matter what Google says, no matter what the reports say, I believe God. I expect the best. I expect the best. I expect the best. Hallelujah. Amen. I expect the best. I don't expect things to go wrong. Glory to God. You know, hear me well. Not wanting to have the love of money doesn't mean you should fear money. I don't fear money. No, I don't. At all. In fact, I don't. One of my business mentors, what he taught me, in a very strange way, say anything they tell you, can you do, you say you can. Except to kill people. So if you call me, you say, one of the projects I ever did in my life, that I made some of the greatest profits. In fact, that day, I was in my office. We had done a deal, and they had not paid us. So usually me and my partner, at the end of the day, the office will say, how much is on you? So we'll be sharing it. So that day, I just got a call. She said, can you do so and so? Can you do road? I've never done it before. So that's a kilometer. I said, yes, sir. I can. So my partner said, what did they ask you? I said, it's a road. So what did you say? I said, we will do it too. Because I can. So immediately, started calling people. Maybe you do road. You do road. You do road. Come and do it with us. We just hired those that can do road. That means we have done road. Anything you tell me, can you do it? I say, I can do it. I can do it. Hallelujah. I'm not afraid. Glory to God. And what if it goes wrong? It didn't go wrong, but I made money. And we use that money to do believers convention. That was like 12 years ago or so. Yeah, I'm telling you. God, I say I can. Amen. I'm not afraid though. Praise God. Bring it on. You know, we are born of God. We don't fear challenges. We actually love it. We love it. Our master likes it. Everything they brought against him, it came tops. He went to the hellest of hell. That's my own language. The hellest, no hell. The hellest of it. Down hell. It came out tops. Right there. He rejoiced. You will not abandon your holy one to see corruption. He spoke the word from the cross to the grave and to the throne. He spoke the words of victory. Hallelujah. Bring it on. Bring it on. Hallelujah. I know I'll come out tops. I can never be defeated. And I will never quit. I can never be defeated. And I will never quit. Hallelujah. Don't run from challenges. Take your decisions. Hallelujah. Do it. Glory to God. In the midst of that fear, this is where I'm going to do it. There was a pastor like that that told Pastor Tokes years ago. He said, they had this conversation. He said, Tokumbo, God told me. And it was just a conversation. If you leave this ministry, you will be destroyed. Then he proceeded to the guy. He said, because of what you have said, I'm leaving. Because I didn't plan to leave before, but because of what you just said, I'm leaving. The man eventually became a student. I love challenges. Hallelujah. For what you have just said, I wasn't planning to do this before, but because of what you just said, I will do it. Hallelujah. I will now do it. Hallelujah. I expect the best. I expect the best. I expect the best. Glory to God. So I say, what if things now go wrong? I'll still expect the best. Hallelujah. I'll still expect the best. Because God is for me. He is not against me. He is not against me. Hallelujah. No, he's not against me. No, he's not against me. No, he's not against me. So if I'm a friend to someone and the person is full of condemnation and threat, I walk away from you. I don't like it. Don't threaten me. I don't like it. I don't threaten you. If you threaten me, I'll look at you and say, get out. Get out. Don't threaten me. I can't be cowered by fear. Hallelujah. I'm what he says I am. I can do what he says I can do. You know you can take on that project. Yeah, you can. Some say, well, my first degree was bad. You know you can make the best of the masters and be the best student. You know you can. Your first business venture was bad. The second one can be better. Don't allow your past experiences dictate how you decide. Of course, learn from them. But that doesn't stop you from doing another one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not afraid of money. Are you? If you don't like money in your pocket, give me. I'll help you spend it. Hallelujah. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. 1 Corinthians 10, 24 and 26. Amen. To love money means to esteem above human beings and above every other thing. But you know what? To make money is good. Hallelujah. To make money is good. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid in any way. Don't be afraid. Take on the project. Take on the decision. Do what you want to do. And don't be afraid. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid. 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 In ministry, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Someone told me, sir, after we prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, after they prayed at WCC, by the next week, the church will be full. Those who even came to WCC didn't come again. So he said, ah, Pastor, what do I do? I said, don't be afraid. I said, you have even tried. I said, everybody still came. I mean, half of them still came. He said, I've had one that was the only one that came. He said, sir, I said, just don't be afraid. They chased me out of one hall like this. He said, you can't use it again. Some people say they are the ones that own the ministry. And I went to the very next building. I did another meeting with one person. I won't stop. Hallelujah. That is, I won't stop. You want me to stop? I will not stop. And you know, it looked like, is this guy crazy? I won't stop. I won't stop. I won't stop. Because it is not given to us to give up. Except God talks to you and says, no, don't do this, do that. But because men said something, bring it on. It will be done. Hallelujah. 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 Say, I have no fear. I have great expectations. I have positive expectations. I've got no fear. Glory to God. I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. Someone told me he applied for a master's program somewhere. Amen. An Ivy League school. And I told him, look, you can't take you, blah, blah, blah. I think he failed the GRE or something. He said, what do I do? I said, apply elsewhere. Apply to where they will not require GRE. He said, there's none. I said, who said so? He said, my friend. Who is your friend? I said, who said, say your friend? Is your friend the vice chancellor of all universities in the world? He said, no. Go and apply. And he said, came back. He said, man of God. They are even better schools. Daddy, I said, you see, fear did what to you? It killed your expectation. Now, he has five choices. And they are all free. For PhD, sorry, not masters. Five choices, and they are all free. Because the masters did not get to the highest level. And all that. I said, no. Don't allow people to talk you down. Hallelujah. Don't allow them to talk you down. Hallelujah. I refuse to be afraid. Amen. 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 So never allow challenges dictate what you are saying. Dictate to challenges. Expect good things. Let's begin to close here. Expect good things. Expect things to go well. Expect things to go well. Expect things to go well. Amen. So I say, if I have enough money now, I will not attend prayer group. Is it not better you have money to attend prayer group? So that you will not be grumbling during prayer meeting. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Now, look ahead of yourself. Look ahead. Look ahead. Look ahead. Look ahead. Hallelujah. Look ahead and look ahead well. Hallelujah. Look ahead in your decisions, in your relationships, in your ministry, in your business. Look ahead. And say, I expect things to go well. I'm sure Paul didn't go to his office and say, you know, this world is not my home. I am just passing through. There was a guy like that who was singing that song. This world is not my home. In Ibadan. I am just passing through. Heaven is just my home. Lord, Lord. That is how one big trailer passed by his car and his hour into the beach. So when he got back, he said, this world is beautiful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you there? I expect good things. I expect good things. Things will go fine. Things will go fine. You know, one of the greatest things you can tell a Christian is, Never mind. Everything will be all right. That's how to talk to Christians. Take your mind off that. Try another one. People are usually shocked when they have a disappointment and they tell me, the thing I say next, I just say, leave it. Do another one. The guy just told me, the wife, he just lost a child. I said, Pastor, I'm painful. It's very painful. I said, I commiserate with you. I said, then when you are done, how long are you going to cry? He said, what do you mean, sir? He said, just tell me how long, so that I'll tell you what to do after. Ah. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. I said, when you are done, go on fire. Have another one. That is it. Expect great things. Start another one. Do it again. You know it has not ended till you do it well. Do another one. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. You have beautiful marriages, beautiful relationships. Things are going funny, but you know, things are going to turn well. Amen. Whatever. I expect great things. I expect great things. I look ahead, and I look ahead well. What I see is good. Amen. I don't see myself backslide. Not once. I've never seen myself need someone to pray for me. Pray for me. You know, many have gone ahead of us. They've gone ahead of us and decided that this way, they end up well. This is my name, many. Do I look like many? I can't see it. What I see is someone stand boldly, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ all over the world, till he's 80, till he's 90. Glory to God. I told the doctor, I said, I'm not going in 10 years. I'm not going in 20 years. I'm not going in 40 years. I'm not going in 50 years. I'm not going anywhere in 70 years. I'm going to preach Jesus all over the world. He thought I was crazy. I saw him at the airport last 2 years. He said, where are you going? What I told you I was going to be doing. Where are you going? I'm going to, Zambia. So I'm going to Zambia, sir, to preach the gospel like I told you. Amen. Like I told you then. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I expect great things. Stand to your feet, give God praise. I expect great things. Switch off the negative channel. Stay free from fear. Full of faith. Full of great expectations. Oh, glory to God. I see myself in Him. Boldly. Storms doesn't mean God is not there. You know, He's there right within you. Storms are just a challenge, they're just a test. But you are coming out victoriously. 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 It's not even a prayer point. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's just something about not giving up. Generally. There's something about not giving up. I won't give up on this one. I won't give up on this one. Come in a few years, you will change what you said. Amen. Bring it on. Bring it on. Hallelujah. Lift your hands. Bless the Lord.